evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan, South Sudan, and the East Africa region this Friday, June 28, 2024. Drama continues at the South Sudan talks in Nairobi as a group fights for recognition.
So now they want to go back, reunite. When they are united, they loot, they grab the power. When they divorce, they kill people.
And calm has returned to some parts of the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
And they are also techno-savvy. They use the new gadgets better than their parents. Means that these are not scared by government officials. They feel obliged to raise issues and to demand answers. Mainly born in the 21st century and have now matured into young adults.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A group calling itself the Nilotia People's Movement says the Tumaini Initiative ongoing in Nairobi is nothing but a discussion by individual South Sudanese politicians who want to return to President Kiir's administration. Peter Chol Gatluak, leader of the Nilotia People's Movement, says he pulled out of the talks because he wants to consult his group on the way forward.
I have 5,323 armed.
In Ulang County armed?
Not only in Ulang County.
How come we have not heard about you attacking government forces or capturing places?
Our aim is not to attack people. Our aim is to organize ourselves first.
Why did you
form an army? Greater Apanar are united. We are fighting for total liberation of Greater Apanar region.
You want to liberate the region from who?
From the government of South Sudan.
Why?
Because as you knew, all the oil revenue is generated from the Greater Apanar. But what happened in Juba, they are using divided and rule and conquer to divide.
But the 2% of the oil proceeds goes to the communities where oil is produced.
The PLM lead government in Juba, they lie to the world, they lie to the international community that they are giving 2% for the people who own the oil. It's a lie. It goes back to them.
You're telling me that you don't want to fight. You don't want to fight because you will destroy your area.
No,
and then you're also saying that you want. No, no. That's what you say.
I never said that you don't want to fight. I said we are organizing ourselves.
You told me that you don't want to fight because you don't want destruction. And at the same time, you want to liberate the area.
I said we don't want to fight. We don't want to wait and realistic fight. Just you go and attack and run. We don't want to do that.
And where are you speaking
from? You will hear us. Now I come to Nairobi because this is talk.
Tell me about the talks.
Well, the talk, I'm not a part and parcel any longer.
Why?
Because it's the same individual who mastermind the corruption in Juba, those of Agena Moon, Malong, and so on. So now they want to go back, reunite. When they are united, they loot, they grab the power. When they divorce, they kill people.
Agena Moon and Malong are not on this call to defend themselves. What evidence do you have that they are going back to Juba?
I have evidence. If they challenge what I'm telling you now, give me a call. Or you link me with them, and then they can defend themselves.
But it appears like your party is not known. It is just something on the paper. That's why they kicked you out of the venue. Because you're
no,
not...
No. It's not like that. It's not like that. They know my position is very clear.
How come you only appeared when the talks were going on in Nairobi? Where have you been this time?
Well, peace come from the Bible. Also, I want to come let the world know what is happening exactly in South Sudan. And why Nilotic People Movement and Nilotic People to bring forth is established and fighting for what? I just want to convey the message. This peace talk is not going to take South Sudanese people anywhere.
If you were not kicked out of the talks at the Ole Seren Hotel, you will not be saying these peace talks will not bring anything. You are saying this because you were kicked out.
During the liberation, I persist my membership from SUNA, from South Sudan United Alliance. Even Boy can tell you about that.
I read your resignation letter. I saw the response from Boy. So you decided to pull out from the coalition led by him. And now you are blaming Agena Moon and Paul Malong. Was that their problem?
Did they ask you to resign? there are one who told Boy not to work with us in our line because they are saying our objective agenda totally different.
If you say you care about your people, you want to, quote unquote, liberate them, why are you not there at the talks? Because not every negotiation goes smoothly. There are challenges. Why are you not there? Why are you not holding the bull by the horn as opposed to running to the media?
I will be going there to them, but I'm doing something also for them. I'm making a connection, international connection. I'm working 24/7. I'm working.
The people you want to liberate would expect you to be where national issues are discussed. And if there are challenges, you face the challenges and continue. But you resign from the coalition, and now you are running and pointing fingers at other people who are discussing about
yourself. I cannot waste my time. I cannot waste my time listening to the gentleman agreement between the ISPLM leaders. When they divorced 2013, they killed the same people, and now they want to remarriage again. So I don't want to be part and parcel of it.
What solution do you have for the people of South Sudan? You don't want to sign peace agreement. You don't want to be part of the negotiation. So what solution do you have for the people of South Sudan?
Well, the solution when they are honest enough. Now they are not honest. Because they know the government is in this position. And also these people, they cannot withdraw the money they stolen from the people of South Sudan. That's why they want to go back to Juba.
Galwak, what makes you more honest than the rest? You were telling me from the beginning of this interview that you have 5,000 troops based in Olang. That is up for verification.
Well, if when the time comes, when you are ready to find the fact, you can call me. I will give you the realistic figure. Even will be more.
You are not where people are negotiating crucial issues to resolve the ongoing vicious cycle of conflict in South Sudan. You pulled out from a coalition that is talking with the government delegation. You are pointing fingers at some of the members of the coalition that they're fighting for position, but you are fighting for your people of Upper Nile. How are you going to achieve that from your apartment in Nairobi?
We will achieve when I go to ground, because we don't seek permission from them. We can do it in all means, militarily or peacefully, when they are ready also to negotiate in good faith.
That's Peter Chol Gatluak, a leader of a group calling itself the Nilotia People's Movement. He spoke to me from his apartment in Nairobi earlier today. South Sudan's National Electoral Commission says a lack of accurate population data could affect the registration process for the scheduled December 2024 elections. A member of the Electoral Commission says some potential obstacles could affect the preparations for the poll. Kaltuma Vanessa has more for VOA from Torit.
Representatives from the National Electoral Commission, National Constitution Review Council, Political Party Council, National Police Service, and the United Nations Mission in South Sudan have started discussion on the potential challenges ahead of the planned December polls. Amos Juma Ochang, a representative of South Sudan National Electoral Commission, says the country has no reliable population data.
Start with the demarcation of the geographical consensus. And these demarcations help in the registration of voters. And after the registration of voters, we go to the nominations. Then after the nominations, we go to the campaign. Then we go to the electoral day. Now here, the first stage in this electoral system that we have, which is the demarcation of the geographical consensus, we don't have the population data at hand. And our source of population data, according to the legal framework, is the census. We don't have the data. So this is another challenge.
After independence, South Sudan was supposed to review its constitution, but the process stalled due to lack of funds. Oyet Patrick Charles, a member of National Constitution Review Council, says the country cannot go to the polls without a constitution.
The constitution that sets out a government is not supposed to be the other way around. It is not supposed to be a government comes in place and then sets a constitution. It should be a constitution that will tell us, the constitution will give us the architect of power. For example, what kind of system do we want? We now know we need a federal system. What type of federal system? Do we need a presidential system or a parliamentary system? What is the term of the president in office? 5 years, 7 years, 10 years? What do we want? All this must be spelled out in the Constitution.
In November last year, President Salva Kiir issued a decree reconstituting the Political Parties Council, tasked with regulating political parties. Peter Waniladu is with the Political Party Council. He says June 30th is the deadline for registration of parties that want to participate in the election.
Registration is a continuous process. It has no limitation. But for this upcoming election, there is certain guidance being given. For the political parties who are aspiring to take part in the upcoming election, they have to finalize their process within 180 days. We have announced the registration kick-off in January, and it ends 30th of the current month.
In March, South Sudan, First Vice President Riek Machar called for a dialogue among parties to the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement to agree on the timeline for election. Machar cited security concern as the country prepares for December poll, but the Assistant Inspector General of Police, General Abraham Mayot Peter, says the police are ready to offer protection during election.
We don't know the SPLA-IO, we don't know the SAWA, we don't know all these political parties. What we know is these are South Sudanese contesting for election. So we are going to give them an equal protection. Some people may think that we are SPLA. No, we are not. We are not SPLA, we are not SPLA-IO. Even those who came from SPLA-IO, they are no longer SPLA-IO. I think the PPC knows very well that any political party with the armed wing will not contest.
Opposition holds out a group meeting in Nairobi, told this program early this month that South Sudan is not ready for election. Pagan Amun, leader of the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance, says the country needs fundamental change. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Torit, Eastern Equatorial State.
From Torit, we move to Nairobi, where the situation is reported to be back to normal in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, and other parts of the country following two consecutive days of protests by members of young people who are popularly known as Generation Z. For VOA News, James Simanyola reports from Nairobi.
CAM has returned to Kenya after days of protests to stop Parliament from passing the controversial finance bill, which included billions in new taxes. The government said the tax increases were needed to meet the fiscal target of its International Monetary Fund program and to address the country's massive foreign debt. President William Ruto's attempt to compromise with the protesters and scrap a motor vehicle tax and VAT on bread failed to stop the protests, which started on June 18. Macharia Munene is a professor of history at the United States International University in Nairobi and an expert on political and social issues in the country. Munene describes the protesters who generally organized their demonstrations with a clear leader and with little help from politicians or political parties.
Well-educated, articulate, they are hard thinkers, and they are also techno-savvy. They use the new gadgets better than their parents. It means that these are not scared by government officials. They feel obliged to raise issues and to demand answers, mainly born in the 21st century and have now matured into young adults. They are now in their 20s. Then they matured, and then they became digital when the whole country and the rest of the world was getting swallowed in the internet.
Professor Munene elaborated on members of Generation Z and their views.
Youth who are frustrated because policies adopted by governments have not been meeting the expectation, and therefore they feel they cannot tolerate. These were frustrated, and it came to a boiling point when the government tried to push through a ill-conceived finance bill, which added to the balloon of frustration.
Eventually, the protests forced Ruto to say he would not sign the finance bill, and he promised to work with the protesters and community groups to come up with a new budget plan. The question that arises is whether the protests are likely to occur in other countries.
The demonstrations in Kenya, which have caught worldwide attention, are likely to have the effect in other countries where the youth feel that they can also do the same thing and succeed. It's a worldwide movement picking up, and Kenya seems to have been in the forefront of it. The end result is not known, but clearly the Kenyan movement is now becoming a global movement.
Political and social observers describe recent events in Kenya as the biggest national protests for decades. For VOA Africa, I'm James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, two U.S. presidential candidates debate on their agendas. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Our words of wisdom for today comes from Eastern Equatoria State.
Good evening, VOA, South Sudan. We have a proverb in Acholi that says, "Lum orachel kawat orcheko." This literally means, if a grass touch house, out of many pieces of grasses that are touched on the house, and one of them falls off, it cannot really make the house to leak. So it means if out of many people, one person decides to stay away, the rest can still remain in unity. That's the meaning of the proverb. Thank you so much.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. And now we go for U.S. politics. U.S. presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump had their first debate of this election cycle last night. From Atlanta, VOA's Carla Yu has the story.
Joe Biden and Donald Trump each made their case to voters for why they should be the next president. On the campaign trail, Trump says the U.S. economy is in ruins. At the Atlanta debate hosted by CNN, Trump said America is, quote, a seriously failing nation. He said Biden has done a poor job. Inflation is killing our country. It is absolutely killing us. On the campaign trail, Biden says he has turned around the poor economy he inherited from Trump. At the Atlanta debate, Biden said there is more to do on the economy. Biden said his administration is working to bring down the price around the kitchen table, and that's what we're going to get done. Public opinion polling shows this is a close race, with the economy and immigration top issues for voters. At the debate, Trump says Biden has failed to protect Americans from illegal immigrants who are taking jobs. Trump said the United States has a border that's the most dangerous place anywhere in the world, considered the most dangerous place anywhere in the world, and he opened it up, and these killers are coming into our country, and they're raping and killing women. At the debate, Biden reminded voters about the Trump administration's family separation policy for immigrants. Biden said when Trump was president, he was separating babies from their mothers, put them in cages, making sure their families were separated. On the war in Ukraine, Trump said Russian President Vladimir Putin would never have invaded Ukraine if he had been president. Trump said he will have the war settled between Putin and Zelensky as president-elect. Before I take office on January 20th, I'll have that war settled. Biden said Trump's lack of support for U.S. allies emboldens Russia and threatens a wider war in Europe. Biden said Putin wants all of Ukraine. That's what he wants. And then you think he'll stop there. Do you think he'll stop when, if he takes Ukraine? What do you think happens to Poland, Belarus? This was the earliest presidential debate in U.S. history, with neither Trump nor Biden officially nominated as his party's candidate. They each have 75 days to convince the voters to choose them before their next debate in September. Kelly Yu, VOA News, Atlanta.
Last night, U.S. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump faced each other in their first in-person showdown of this 2024 election season. The CNN presidential debate took place in the southern U.S. city of Atlanta, Georgia. The two battled on several fronts, including whether their age made them unfit to serve as president. Biden is 81 and Trump is 78. Most of the debate focused on domestic issues, including the economy. Trump, who is running for the Republican Party, blamed Biden for the country's inflation rate. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says inflation soared at 9.1% 2 years ago, and now it sits at 3.3%. Democratic Party candidate Biden, also speaking in the CNN debate, laid the blame on Trump's handling of the economy when he was in office from 2017 to 2021. The two candidates did not spend much of time discussing foreign policy, with exception of the conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East. Biden, in his excerpt from the CNN presidential debate, defended his position in Israel and its war against Hamas in Gaza. Trump fired back, saying Biden wasn't backing Israel fully. My colleague Carol Van Dam sat down with Bell Todd, an analyst, to look at the debate and the issues raised.
No, I do not. In fact, I thought Joe Biden had a really poor night. Any chance that he thought he was going to have to build on some of the momentum he had in the polls, he just did not come off strong or forceful as he did during the State of the Union address. That's what we thought we were going to get out of him. And I don't think he quelled anybody's concerns about him not being up for the job as president, not having the mental capacity or the physical stamina. He got lost in his thoughts. He couldn't finish phrases. And Donald Trump, you know, he was Donald Trump. He was hyperbolic, as always. But, you know, he didn't get into too many shouting matches. So he did what he needed to do, which was not to alienate voters and to still be himself for his base. So that's from a style standpoint, but from a policy standpoint, I was also a little bit disappointed because I really thought that these candidates would have an opportunity to talk about some new issues and some plans that they had for the future and get into more policy details without having these sort of interruptions that we've had in the past. And they really didn't do that. They really rehashed a lot of the past and a lot of what has been in their stump speeches.
That was Todd Belt, an analyst, speaking with my colleague Carol Van Dam.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minutes newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Linoch Mudu, host of Health Chat. Join me for the latest in health news, wellness tips, medical breakthroughs, and much more. Our experts inside the United States and beyond will share some insights on living a healthy life. Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
And it's now time for our listener comments. We like to hear what you think about this show and what we should do better. We start with Goya Moses, who writes from Bidibidi Refugee Settlement in Uganda. He says steps taken by Juba Paramount Chief for land regulation was a good move taken in order to maintain people's plots to be very safe, since most of the owners are in refugee camps in East Africa. Bravo, Chief, for advocating for your fellow colleagues. Andrew Masonic from Yambio, Western Equatoria State, writes, "My point goes to our government of South Sudan to try to pay their civil servants and also to political parties. They should agree on what is beneficial for citizens of South Sudan in order to give peace a chance, and also allow citizens to choose their own leaders through elections in December 2024. Hakim from Yei, South Sudan, writes, "President William Ruto should immediately find a solution to Kenyan problem. He should know that for calm to return to the country, the leadership should show restraint, listen to the people's demand." Another listener who did not mention his name writes, "Hi, 23 people killed by Kenyan government is unconstitutional. Honest Kenyan citizens who were peacefully demonstrating against what they consider as injustice should not turn into a bloodbath." Mal Adau Mal in Seattle writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. I believe the so-called holdout groups are currently doing in Nairobi is not genuine resolution for problems, but accommodation project into Juba. Why should we be having more than 10 opposition parties in a nation like South Sudan? They should look at the US and the UK with only two parties, each battling the other. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of Voice of America or this program. We ask you to send your voice and text messages to our WhatsApp number +1 202 630 8011. I repeat, the number is +1 202 630 8011. We shall sample your comments every Friday. And that brings us to the end of our program for this Friday, June 28, 2024. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Malengi by Extra Musica.
Je t'en prie, reviens ma bien-aimée.
We have been listening to Extra Musica and the song Malenge. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Mokwil Yabaru, and engineer Tian Wang, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.